What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Shooting the Breeze. I'm Cody.
And I'm Sawyer.
And as you can tell today, we're a little low on the tripods. We had a double up on the couch. But today we're talking about a topic that a lot of people know about, but not a lot of people really
know about.
But yeah, thank you. God, I can't even speak now. But we have Mr. Keith Ford on here with us today. He's coming back to kind of explain to us not the concept of heaven, because a lot of people know about heaven, yeah. Right? It's, you know, it's heaven or hell, and a lot of people get saved because they don't want to go to hell, mm-hmm. Right? And so it's like, oh, we get to look forward to heaven when we die, but what really happens in heaven? What goes right. on in yeah. heaven? And so we got some questions for Keith. We're going to ask him, and he's gonna do his best to answer them. He's the master, the expert here on heaven. No, I'm just kidding. But he is very knowledgeable on this topic, so... Y'all got anything to add?
No, let's go.
All right, well, let's dive on in. So when we talk about heaven, right, we all have this concept in our mind of the pearly gates, the streets of gold. That's where we get to
mansions.
Yeah, the mansions.
Mansion, yeah.
We get to be reunited with all our, the loved ones mm-hmm. and everything like that. But when we think about it, that's the only part we think about. It's like we're dead. Boom, we're in heaven. What now? Right. It's what happens at this point.
What do we do?
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, they talk about, you know, well, we're just going to be praising God and praising Jesus. And that's great. You know, I mean, he blessed yeah. us throughout our lives. And now we get to spend eternity with him. But that's a long time. Eternity is a long time to do something like that.
Long church service.
Yeah. That's I struggle to get through an hour of church service on Sunday. I don't know if I'll be.
Trillions of years, you know, like, man, just sing another line of that song, Thomas.
Right, exactly. And so.
How many verses of Amazing Grace can we do?
Holy smokes. A lot. But we were going to kind of talk about, you know, what happens when we get to heaven. What actually is heaven? What are we doing there? Is there a purpose? And we're going to kind of dive into some questions like I mentioned it to Keith earlier about the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
What does that entail? What does yeah. that mean when it comes to rewards and stuff sure. like that? But yeah, I just kind of want to start with, you know, if you give us just a baseline introduction to what is heaven? Why do Christians get to go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
What got us to heaven? And yeah. I feel like that's kind of, you know, general
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like you guys. I kind of, growing up in church, you know, it's heaven. You know, you thought about clouds and eating grapes and playing harps and angels and stuff. And you hear people say, you know, talking about a loved one that dies, they say, well, they gain their wings. You know, they're an angel. But they're not. But to start with, like you said, I mean, first off, you know, we believe that you have to believe on that Jesus came from heaven to earth and did what he needed to do, died for our sins, and believe on him and accept him, and you're saved. At the end of the day, there's only two places. There's heaven and hell. And if heaven is real, hell is also real.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to put our trust in him to make it to heaven. But I think it, and Jesus actually said in John, he says, hey, I go to prepare a place for you. And he mentions in my house, or in my Father's house are many mansions. And I've heard people, they write songs about, you know, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land and stuff like that. But I think if we take a number of the scriptures in the New Testament and the Old Testament, that heaven's much more than just like a permanent vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just clouds. We always say heaven's up there, you know, in the clouds. But, you know, if it's up there and you're in China on the other part of the world, is it, you know, down there?
Below us.
It's the number one thing I think about heaven before we really get into, you know, literal and the bema or the judgment seat is it's going to be a place where we get to see God. Mm-hmm. We by faith believe in him. But there, in reality, we'll get to behold him and be like him, the Bible says. And so I think my dad actually used to sing a song that we were talking about pearly gates and streets of gold. Dad used to sing a song that said, if the walls aren't jasper, streets aren't gold, if the mansions still crumble and people still grow old. Still, he said, I seen everything I wanted to see for where Jesus is. be heaven to me. That was the song Dad sang. But mm-hmm. I do believe that a great part of heaven is being in the presence of God. Yeah. And with that, I think the idea of the worship service, Cody, and all is we read of Revelations where it talks about the angels and elders worshiping around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing that a long time. But
that's their job in a way.
Yeah. But I think it's more than just a permanent church service that never ends. And then we go home and, you know, start and get up from our mansion and start
do
again.
Do it all over again.
I think there's a whole lot more aspect to it. So we jump into whatever. Where you want to go from there?
So, a lot of people, yeah, obviously, the worship aspect, it will be there, I think,
to an extent. Sure.
But when we talk about like what we're actually going to do in heaven, right, we talk about purpose a lot on earth. We talk mm-hmm. about, you know, hey, this is your calling or this is your purpose. This is what you're naturally skilled at. And we call that purpose, which it is. How do you think that may correlate to heaven?
Okay.
Like, do you think that may be a heavenly
sure.
purpose or...
Oh yeah, so my idea behind that is not just idea scripture. So you mentioned the judgment seat, or in the Greek, the word judgment seat is called the bema mm-hmm. seat of God, and it's a judgment that is a difference. And I think we mentioned that in one of the last episodes of there. There's the white throne judgment. That's the judgment of the non-believer. But the mm-hmm. the bema seat is actually when we stand before God. And we give it in the scriptures found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It said we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of deeds done in the body, meaning that God sent us to the earth with an assignment. Mm-hmm. And then when we get there, it's just like our job or the military. You know, we're going to have to answer for our assignment. And throughout the years, I've had different believers and say, oh, well, when we get to heaven, it don't matter. Everybody's equal, and it don't matter what your assignment was on earth. You know, everything, we all like status. Everybody's status. Jesus is the big G, and we're all equal. But obviously, if I've accomplished my purpose on earth, and from the stories of the talents, and you know, the one who was given the talents was mm-hmm. given more and faithful. That when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of deeds done in body, good or bad, there's a reward. And you were mentioning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I read it, said, by the grace God has given me, he said, I laid a foundation as a builder. Someone else is building. It talks about that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown in that day. That day is the day, the judgment seat of Christ. And it said, the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of the person's work. If one has what he's built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, it said the builder will suffer loss, yet he will be saved. And it goes on, it says that some people even make it to heaven as escaping flames. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I mean,
some people just barely make heaven.
They barely make it. And then some people, whether it's a Billy Ground or a Cody mm-hmm. or Sawyer, that literally was faithful with what God said, then there's a reward. And not only rewards, there's all throughout the New Testament that talks about crowns and jewels. It mm-hmm. talks about that there's the crown of the soul winner, the person who wins souls is wise. There's a crown. There's a crown of the martyr that we're given crowns and stuff. What is that for? Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's not just a, you know, float around on a cloud strumming a guitar and. Mm-hmm. Or a harp, and I had other people say, well, it's because we're all going to take our crowns, we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Okay, I can go for that, but we're there for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, then what we going to do? I honestly believe where the scripture says, and I'll give you just a few, Revelations, and then y'all can dive into it. Revelations 3, verse 21, it says, to the one who's victorious, I'll give them the right to sit on the throne with me to rule and to reign. What are we ruling and reigning? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12. If we endure to the end, we shall also reign with him. Daniel chapter 7, this is Old Testament, verse 27. Then the kingdoms and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms of our God under the whole earth shall be given to the people of God, the saints of God, the Most High, who will rule and reign with him forever and ever.
Hmm.
So we're obviously doing something in the capacity of ruling and reigning.
Right.
And, so what does that mean? What do you think that looks like?
So, I think this is just me spitting what I believe, I guess. But when we come back and New Jerusalem is set up on earth, the people who were faithful with what he gave them the first time through on earth, you know, so to say, in our first lifetime here, when they everything that he gave us, we took and we did it for his glory, then he's going to give us that same sort of authority back on New Jerusalem to where we're over stuff because he trusts us with it and he knows that we can steward it. So the same way that there's different, there'll be same way in the old Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem, there will be a hierarchy, I guess, of some sorts, of course, with him at top.
Sure.
But it'll trickle down from there and he'll have people set up in different positions to rule over different parts of the kingdom.
And see, that's my thing. It's like when you talk about ruling and reigning, I automatically think like ruler and then subjects, and like, and not, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, I get you.
But you know what I'm saying? That what are we? And nobody can really answer this for sure.
Yeah.
But you know what? In that aspect, are we ruling? And I have this, and this is purely hypothetical. Like Cody just made this up on the way home. But I don't know why I think of it as like. You know, you said something on the phone. You were like, God made
Don't pull
earth.
Him into this. Don't pull him into your ass.
If I'm going down, we're all burning. No, I'm just kidding. Go. But you said if, you know, God can make the earth and all of its complexities in 6 days.
6 days, yeah.
What else could there be out there? You know, and what time could it be out there? And so for some reason, I think in my head that there used to be an old earth with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians who made it in that rapture are now the angels that we have on this earth now. And then when we die, the people that were Christians will be angels on the earth that comes next. And I know that I just made that up in my head. I know that probably has no
that together. Hold up.
That has no. Do you see what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
You're saying that we're
so this
like
earth
a, like a succession type thing?
Yeah, like we're going to now be the new angels for the next earth that Cody point two and Sawyer point two live on.
So I think
that would imply though that angels have authority over us. Though.
Well, see the Bible says he talks about the angels created. He said, well, man was created just there was a human is created different than an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the angels are created a little above us or a little below us? It's one of the two. And
for some reason I'd heard that angels are jealous of us in a sense.
Well, and the jealousy from the angels is because they talk about singing a song of the redeemed. An angel was a created being. Now Satan rebelled against God, angels they're created to worship God. We were given the choice.
Right.
So we, the ones who've given the choice that accepted Christ, we sing a song of the redeemed. The angel don't know what it's like to be lost and then saved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that jealousy. But kind of going back to what Cody said and even Sawyer said, so Revelations, and I actually put that scripture down, chapter 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and then there was no longer sin. I saw a holy city and a new Jerusalem coming down, and the bride dressed herself for her husband. And the bride is talking about the bride of Christ,
right.
the church, and Christ being the groom. But I would say, Cody, and I do think David in the Psalms, made a statement. He said, there's some things that's just too lofty for me to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we can speculate, and there's people who said they had visions of heaven and wrote books. And
right.
I know Jesse Duplantis, you know, he says, hey, I went to heaven, and he tells this thing, and it was real big. He was going to churches, and he was talking about the grass, and the grass was worshiping God, and you stepped on it, and it went down, and then as soon as you stepped off of it, it started saying, amazing grace, you know, pop back up. But Paul, in the scripture, said it was caught up in the third heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And the third heaven literally means the abode of God, or where God dwells.
Mm-hmm.
So heavens is talking about above the atmosphere that's above the earth is considered a heaven,
right.
Or a space or a heaven. The abode of God's where God dwells. But Paul explained it this way, and it kind of, we talk about as much as we want to, but at the end of the day, Paul said that he saw things in heaven. He called up in heaven. He said the statement was, I saw things in heaven that was too unlawful, he actually said, for me to speak on earth. And that he don't mean like it's against the law.
Right.
But he was saying, you can't put it into our mentality or our language.
Yeah.
Because like I did say to Cody, God created all we live in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
I did tell you, Cody, that I believe, and I'm not saying me and Bridget, when we first got married, we loved Star Trek, you know, to space and beyond, you know, but scientists, and you know, there's all kind of theories out there, which that ain't this episode, flat earth, round earth, all that kind of stuff. But scientists do say that the universe is expanding at the speed of light. Whether that's a lie or conspiracy theory, I don't know, but I do know creation, if God has always been and God began the beginning, you know, 6 days, he had to be doing something else before. And there is scientific proof that there were dinosaurs, there's fossils, there's mm-hmm. stuff, there's talks about an ice age. We even have a prehistoric man. You know, when we see Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know what amount of space took place from when God said, in the beginning.
He could have marked the beginning whatever he wanted.
To the next point.
Right.
So obviously, there could have been an ice age. The dinosaurs could have died out. There could have been a race. There could have been, they even call it a pre-Adamite world that there was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, I think, in what I see about God, and I look at what he's created in the earth, I believe there's so much more out there than we can imagine. And I don't doubt that this life is a dress rehearsal. James says it's like a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Here 1 minute, gone the next. And we're tested, if we're victorious and we're faithful, I believe we're gonna rule and reign universes and earths and all kind of stuff.
That's something that I've always thought about, is that I know in the Bible, like it said, in the beginning, he creates heaven and earth. He created us. He created, you know, all the animals that dwell in land, air, and sea. And then it says he rested. I don't think anywhere in the Bible does it say that he stopped creating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe, okay, he rested, but has he just been resting until we come back, or until he calls us back up? Or has he been, like they're saying, that the universe is expanding? Has God just been going crazy, just like creating all this new stuff,
just
creating this place for when he does call us back up, that he says, look at this,
yeah.
Look at everything that I've done.
Yeah.
While you've been on earth in your little, you know, bubble in a way, look at all of this.
And didn't Job get a, I don't know if he got a peek at heaven, but didn't he see like God,
the heavens opened up.
Yeah. Like he saw a vision of like, God started questioning him, like, were you here when I made all this? Like,
yeah.
Were you here when I made space? And why the waves, you know, pull in and pull out? Like, I guess, yeah, I mean,
who's to say how he stopped creating? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I don't think God just sitting up there and doing nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, God is matter of fact, Jesus said, my Father is always working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus went and says, I'm going to prepare a place. And so now that's a whole different topic, because actually when he said that to his disciples, he wasn't on the way to heaven. He was on the way to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said that he kept speaking of on his earthly ministry, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so if you go with me, and he says, in my Father's house, so in my Father, mm-hmm. There's many rooms or many places. I believe that passage of scripture, we made it all about heaven, where I believe Jesus was saying, I'm going to the cross, and in me, there's all kind of places. Some people love outreach. Some people love worship. Some people love,
it's multifaceted. Life groups.
And he's saying there's a place for all of us in me, because it's very important to understand when he said that, he wasn't on his way to heaven. Mm-hmm. He was on his way to Calvary. And so we flipped it, and not to mean that he's not in heaven and he didn't prepare a place, but the Bible said when he went to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father interceding. I don't believe the Lord's up there with a skill saw in his hat and a tape measure, and he's like, hold on, Father, I got one more to build for Sawyer before we can mm-hmm. get. I believe heaven is so vast, and it's a realm, because he said the old heavens and the old earths will pass away, and a new heaven. So it a new heaven means it's a new it's a creation. It's something that's beyond what we know. But we can absolute say from scripture that if there's rewards and there's loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's crowns and there's certain seats, then there is a positional, or at least a flow, if you would, mm-hmm. of authority, with God being at the top, that gives us the idea that, okay, we've got crowns, we're ruling and reigning. It's just a matter of what are we going to rule and reign. And I think some of that we're not going to know, but I think it's beyond, we're just sitting there, saying, maybe it is people, maybe it is a creation or something, but I think it's more than just us ruling and reigning, saying, okay, well, I'm going to toss this grape
Go play golf and fish. Yeah. And,
The first thing I think of when you talk about that, like, what are we going to reign over and stuff like that? So in the same way with the first earth, or, in first heaven, in the garden and stuff, he gave Adam dominion over these animals. Sure. And the fall of man happened. But Adam did a pretty good job of saying, okay, these, like, oh, we can eat these animals, or these are good for this, and this is how to grow crops. He did a great job. He did good with what God gave him, even though the fall of man happened.
Yeah.
He did really well with what he was supposed to do, which was name all these animals. What are they good for? Which cows produce milk, and we can drink the day, like doing all that stuff. I'm not saying that he was definitely the one who came up with all of that.
I see what you're saying.
But
though,
you know what I mean?
He didn't make Adam, and Adam just immediately
he
just
gave
lay back and pulse.
He figured it out. He figured it out,
Eve woke up to a husband. Adam woke up to a job. When he woke up, he said, hey, this is what you do. And then that's Genesis 1, chapter 28. He said, hey, go and have dominion over the whole earth.
Yeah.
He never made it out of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Because of sin, he fell and was kicked out of the garden. So he didn't take dominion over the whole earth. And people get kind of kooky when you talk about dominion and all. But what is dominion? A kingdom, if you take the word kingdom and break it down, a king's dom is dominion, a king's rule and reign. So God created, he's an unseen God. He ruled the unseen realm. He creates mankind. He says, I'm going to create mankind. I'm going to give them a place to have dominion and rule and reign. And he gave us that authority, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost it when through sin. But God never changed his mind on that. If you notice, the mission statement or the mandate of the Bible is shown in the beginning, Genesis 1:28, where he says the dominion. Later on in Genesis, where the earth had gotten evil, and he decides to destroy it by water. When the flood came and killed everything, when Noah, the ark landed, and he made the sacrifice in the rainbow, said God made a covenant. If you read what God promised it, he told him, he said, now go and fill the earth, subdue it, blah, blah, blah. He told him to do everything he told Adam to do except one word. He didn't have to tell him to have dominion, because he couldn't have dominion until Jesus came and really gave us back the authority that we lost with the first Adam. And so, like you said, I think heaven is ultimately the place where God makes it all right. We deal with sin, we do with the devil, but earth was a place that God created for us, and we're made in the likeness and the image of God. Who's to say that we don't have the ability in some kind of way to, you know, create space or create things
I mean, we do.
You know, you look up, the whole world was looking up at the eclipse yesterday, you know, looking at the sun and stuff like that. You know, again, whether the earth is this way or this way, that's somewhere a long way off from us. And the moon, there's places that we don't know we've not been that God's been. And to me, it's small thinking to think that this little earth is all that God created.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's sitting there saying, hey, you know, Cody, I'm sending you to Pluto.
Yeah, you know, I'm sending you to Earth 247.
You the man in charge. You know, I don't know, but certainly I think it's greater than church. No offense to church, but that we're going to be in the world's longest, Earth's longest, it's a trillion year worship service, no bathroom breaks, you know.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
You just made a lot of conspiracy theorists happy. They just there's extraterrestrial out there. Yeah, they confirmed it.
Heaven.
No,
they're coming.
Speaking on, you know, Old Testament, it is weird to think about. Okay, well, when it says how do you get to heaven in the New Testament? Well, you know, call on the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. and you'll be saved, right? You know, the thief on the cross, he got to spend eternity with heaven, in heaven with Jesus. But when we talk about Old Testament before that new covenant that we had, what do we know what happened then?
So when people died then, so you talk about, and Jesus refers to it as paradise or Abraham's bosom. Some people call it purgatory. It was a place that people went that it talks about the righteous that was in Christ, the people that was righteous, in other words, maybe they didn't know Jesus except Jesus, but righteous in the Old Testament, according to whatever standard that God set for righteousness, they went into the place of paradise. And it was a place of holding, a place of waiting. And it even speaks about, you said it before we started, Lazarus, he could look over this great gulf that you couldn't go between, and he could see the rich man in hell suffering, and he was asking the Lord, hey, can Lazarus go up and tell my brothers don't come to this place? And he was saying that, you know, if they didn't believe the prophets, they're not going to believe somebody came back from the dead. But scripture does say that, Cody, once Jesus died on the cross, during the 3 days that he's dead, he wasn't just chilling out in the grave dead. It actually said that during those 3 days that He went to hell. Mm-hmm. He went to that place of purgatory or paradise, and it said he preached to captive, and he basically laid it out. And the righteous that were in Christ Jesus, when he raised and he went back and ascended unto the Father, then he took all those ones in the Old Testament that believed in with him into heaven. So after the cross, you don't go to purgatory, you don't go to paradise. After the cross, the Bible said to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. So does that make sense? That's kind of the difference of, they went to a place of holding where I believe we go, and I don't quite understand, because that's another conversation where it says, okay, when the rapture happens, my mother-in-law, you know, Sandra, if you listen to this, you know, she said, you better not cremate me because I got to have a body to raise. But, you know, after a certain amount of time, your body goes back to the dust.
Yeah.
Right.
The people in the towers, when they went down, burn up, turned to just this ashes, that heat was so. But the Bible talks about the dead in Christ, that event of the rapture, dead in Christ will rise first. You know, there's some type of a coming together. You know, my mom actually said, well, I don't want to go to heaven and have a body and have to go back to my old body when I get raised. I don't even know if we see that right. You know, I'll throw out a thought. I don't want to call it a theory, but I'll throw out a thought. The Bible's talking about the rapture. The rapture is when Jesus comes back for the people
mm-hmm.
that's alive. It says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, will be called up in the air to meet him in the clouds. You know, who knows? To me, if you die and to be absent from the body is to present with the Lord, then the dead in Christ rose first. In mm-hmm. other words, you know, I don't know if it'll be actual bodies coming up out of the grave. That's what we've always been said. Or if in truly they go ahead because they've already finished on earth and they're in the presence of God. I don't know what that looks like.
I've always heard it. It's like, and this is another thought. I don't know for sure. But like, okay, if you think about time, like how we perceive time and how he perceives time, you know, God's kind of outside of it. As far as the people who die, and then when the rapture happens and people are called up, the people who are dead are not going to know how much time passed from then to there. You know what I mean? So really, it's all going to be kind of the same time as far as they know because they've been dead.
And
like you're dead, you're outside of time.
Who did I talk to? I can't remember who I talked to, but they were saying Roger from church. The way I was talking to Cole Smith, and we were talking about heaven,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying the way Roger explained it to him is that, like, you know, Roger, his wife's name's Dawn, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He said basically, like, Dawn may die, right?
Yeah.
And he lives the rest of his life another 20 years, right? And she went to heaven, but he said the way he explained it was that she might have been up there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Roger was now there with her, even though he was with 20 years. Because when we talk about God creating the earth in 6 days, well, didn't we translate every day into like 1,000 years or something like that?
Yeah, the Bible says as a day is 1,000 years of the Lord, and years 1,000 years as a day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean...
Yeah, the time and space, the Bible says everything, God has created time and personal and a time for every purpose given under heaven. I said that in class last week. If mm-hmm. it's under heaven, it's here. It has a time space. In heaven, it's outside of time as we know it. I told my mom, mom, when she was dying and at night we talked about this and talked about heaven, and she says, I'm going to miss y'all. You know, she said, I'm going to be in heaven, but, you know, you can't tell me I'm going to miss y'all. Mm-hmm. And I told mom what you just said. I said, Mom, if a day's 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, I said, if you're up in heaven, to us, it's going to seem like 20. True. If it's 20 years, to us, it's a long time. I said, but 20 years ain't even a day.
Yeah.
Right. I said, it's going to be like you walked in the door, and then I walked in the door right behind you. You know,
like
I said,
yeah. 2,000th of a day.
It'd be a couple hours.
I will tell you, this kind of helped me, and I mentioned this to Cody early. Daniel is, and I gave one scripture from Daniel talking about ruling and reigning, but Daniel in the Old Testament, and a lot of people that speak on end times and stuff refer to Daniel, the 40th week, and they use it as Bible prophecy. And Daniel's given a lot of visions, but the last book of Daniel, as the chapter of the book plays out, Daniel's being given this vision of the end of the world and the time and tribulation and that time and most the visions that Daniel's given, the angel of the Lord or was giving it to him would say, "Do you, son of man, do you understand this?" And Daniel would say yes and explain it or no, and he would explain it. When he asked him concerning the end. He asked him, and this is me paraphrasing, he said, do you understand? And Daniel said, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel basically says, I'm paraphrasing, he said, look, he said, I've told you all I'm going to tell you. And you're going to know when you need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of stuff, I do think there's enough scripture that says we need to live and prepare ourselves to rule and reign. We need to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to just try to get in by the, like we said, by the skin of our teeth, escaping flames, and understand that we got a big God, that there is something wonderful on the other side. And I think if God created this and the adventures that we look forward to here on earth, and the older I get, I'm not as much of an adrenaline junkie, but when I was younger, I used to love to do stuff that in God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
I think heaven is greater and bigger and more wonderful forever, that we're going to be adventure and excitement and fun and relaxation and worship and all that. But I do think that there will be positional
mm-hmm.
based on our faithfulness to what we do. So this life is really a dress rehearsal for heaven.
This is practice.
So just to recap, when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, just to like recap that, it's not whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. It's basically taking
all... If
you
made it there, you're saved.
Right. Yeah. So if you make it there, you're saved, and it's basically giving you basically a rundown of your whole life, the good and the bad, yeah, and the rewards that you get or don't get because of the decisions and
sure
that you
a
make.
A plus B and yeah C.
And the word we for we almost appear, the word appear is a Hebrew word that means it means when we stand before him, it's like our life is being played on a movie reel right now.
I told you we were talking about that.
He did say
and
that.
And it's like, you know, you can sit there and say, well, I didn't go to church or I didn't do that, you know, because, Lord, I was tired, I had a headache. But right there, that thing, that scene is playing in our life and our motive, our attitude, mm-hmm, all that's laid before God. And basically, you know, we did something. Hey, man, I served. I went to church every week and I did that, but I had a crummy attitude. I was bitter. I had unforgiveness. All that was done in vain.
It's going to burn up.
And that's why it said in 1 Corinthians 3 that we build as a wise builder with precious stones. Because when the fire's put to it, you know, at the end of the day, it's what we did with the right motive, and it's how we answer to the purpose of our life, not what I just decided or somebody decided, but what God created me to do, that then we will be set up to start. Now, that maybe in heaven there's a chance to not if you're lost to get saved, but maybe there's stepping stones even there.
Promotions.
Yeah.
Kind of make
yeah,
it back
I,
up.
There probably is. I mean, I don't necessarily think, you know, God's
it's
mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
But when he's saying, okay, you're going to have forever to live, and, you know, it blows my mind, trillions and millions of years, forever and ever and ever. If in my short years, my dad lived to be 70, 71, my mom right there, you know, my Dolly said Saturday, she's 90 years old. She asked me, why won't the Lord take me? I said, well, he must not be done with you yet. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I wish he'd hurry up and get finished. She said, because I'm ready to see. But if we get these 100 years on this side to at least position ourselves to where we start out eternity, I'd whole lot rather get there and not be at the bottom and him say, well done, you know, come on, this is what I got for you. And mm-hmm, and be sort of like Star Trek, hey, here and beyond. You know?
You want to hear well done.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. When we were talking on the phone about it, we were like, man, like, heaven scares me and it doesn't. Like, mm-hmm, heaven is... it's perfect, right? It's paradise, and that's super exciting. But the fact that I can't, my mind can't actually wrap it around the idea, it scares me a little bit. And I'm like, well, I'm in a pretty good season of life right now. You know, I'm 24, and you think about that. But we were talking about it. We were saying, you know, as you get older, as you become, you know, not more accomplished, but you start experiencing more in life. You have children. You know, you start to see and do more things. It's like, I think I'm ready. You know, like heaven doesn't seem as scary, I guess. And I used to work with a guy named Danny Skoglund, and I got like in a season of like depression because I was like, man, like heaven could come tomorrow. Like, why am I even doing what I'm doing? Why am I going mm-hmm. to school? Why am I working? Like, you know, it could come at any moment. He's like, you can't live like that. He's like, you got to live like it's not coming for another.
Never going to happen.
Right. Like, it's never going to happen.
Be ready, but live like it's never.
Right. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I kind of think it's crazy how expansive heaven is to where we can't even comprehend it to that level.
So even the Pharisees and Sadducees was trying to trap Jesus in talking about heaven. You know, they're like, hey, you know, this one marries this one in this world and on earth, and he dies, and so she's permitted to marry another. And when they get to heaven, whose wife? You know, is she going to be, who's she going to be married to? And even those guys, they're asking you, they had him in the flesh and they're trying to trap him. And Jesus doesn't explain because he knew their motives, that they were just kind of trying to trap him. But, you know, Dolly, going back to my mom's oldest sister, she was saying, you know, if we don't have, because the Bible says there's no marriage and given in marriage in heaven, she's like, are we even going to know each other? What the scripture does say, we will know even as we were known. And that means that we will, we will see and know, hey, you know, hey, I had a relationship with Bridget, or I had that. I don't know the aspect, because if there's not, we're not married. Mm-hmm. God created us and to marry, to procreate, to have dominion over the earth. So that was the purpose of that. If God created marriage in all of its goodness, in heaven, it's not going to be a setback. It'll be a different thing. But Dolly asked me that about counsel, that mentality. Okay, if Charles is gone and I get to heaven and you know, we're not going to be married to Charles, and I'm going to have to live in my mansion by myself. You know, and that's valid. Honest. That's yeah. honest questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I said, I don't think it's like that. Mm-hmm. It's a different, everything we do, and we're doing it through these fleshly bodies, how we feel, we touch, we smell. But yet there's a spirit person inside of me that's not limited. That's why when Jesus even came, he had not gone to the Father, but he could go through walls.
Right.
You know, there's another realm or level that we'll be living in and operating in, that it will not be a step back. It'll be greater than anything we've faced on earth, but different.
Mm-hmm.
But right. But there's a lot of it's going to be, you know, I think you mentioned it. Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, you know, I just believe my dog made it to heaven, you know. And
yeah.
Is our pets going to heaven? And I said, well, I said, I don't know. And me and Bridget had the conversation years ago, and she's like, I just want to believe my cat's in heaven. I hated the cat.
Yeah.
I said, well, if the cat's in heaven, ain't going to be heaven to me, because I hated the cat. You
yeah.
know? And again, I think that's a totally different, I don't know. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for our cat. But I think there'll be animals. I think it'll resemble some mm-hmm. of the stuff that we see, but greater.
Will there be even cooler animals?
Be
like cooler than dogs, you know? I mean, what's cooler than a dog?
Dog's pretty
I don't
cool.
know. I can't imagine that. But.
Speak for your own dog. But yeah, that's crazy you said that, because that was literally the next thing I was going to go to was, do you think there's marriage in heaven? Because a lot of people were like, well, there's no marriage in heaven because there's no need for it, right?
Yeah.
There's no need to, you know, procreate and stuff like that. But I guess in a sense, we'll all be, when we said this on the phone, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? More than.
Well, and you know, most of it with marriage, especially guys, you know, we love to think about the sex part of it, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like, man, well, what are we going to do up there?
Yeah.
But, and God created
what
that.
On earth said, can we do?
He was like, man, what are we going to be able to do in heaven yeah. that's going to be fun, God? You yeah. know, if we can't play golf, have sex, you know, go fishing.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But it the purpose on earth when he created, because again, if you want to get super deep, he created Adam, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when he created all the other animals, Adam, he looked and said that he could not find a suitable partner for Adam.
Thank God.
And I'm glad, ain't you? I'm glad they didn't look God. At a zebra and praise say, God. Hey, the
that's
zebra.
It. That's that. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he laid Adam down and he pulled Eve out of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Adam was both in like God, which God has the ability to create and reproduce all by itself. And the first Adam had Eve inside of Adam. Mm-hmm. And then he pulled Eve out. And Billy preached about it today. When Adam looks at it, he calls her woman or man with, he said, you are man. You are me with a womb.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said in marriage, when they came together to procreate, the two became one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's talking about a spiritual aspect. They come back together. And so in heaven, it's different. So it's not necessary that we have husband and wife so we can have kids and all, because we're spirit. And but yet it again, I just have to believe it doesn't diminish anything that we experience here.
Right.
It takes it to another level of perfection without sin. So well, there's something greater than sex.
I read something that's what I'm saying. I read something that was like, your desires will not be that anymore, because you'll desire stuff that's better, you know, you'll desire higher things.
Yeah,
about to say sex to another level
and taking
sounds
it to
wild.
Another level, you know, it's kind of like
wild.
Maybe you just put your fingers together and we're like, you know,
E.T.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, but it kind of is mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I wish we could see. You know, we ain't said a whole lot about this, but the Bible does speak about hell too.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the greatest, I think, part of hell, even greater than the Bible says that the worm never dies and the fires never quench. It talks about a place of torment, mm-hmm. and fire is also living forever and ever outside of the presence, yeah. of God. Knowing, I mean, what if in hell, like if the rich ruler could see Lazarus in paradise, what would it be like in hell if hell actually you could see
into heaven,
a glimpse of heaven, and know that there's never a way to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think one guy, when I was talking to him about the way he was living, his idea was he didn't care. He said he wanted to live as close to the world as he can. He said, I don't care if I get there. He said, and smell like smoke. He said, it's better than the alternative any day. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought of hell, a place of torment. And I remember when I was real young, we saw a movie and they did hell. They showed these bikers. They went to church and they left out and they were riding home. And they had a wreck and one of them made it to heaven and one of them, it didn't accept and went to hell. And they showed like burning and worms. And I remember as a kid, it terrified me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it should terrify us. That, you know, even though we don't know all the ins and out of the dimensions of what's going to be in heaven, I do know hell is a place of torment and pain and punishment and death and or you never die, but you'll never have another chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary.
But yeah, I don't know what all is in heaven, but I sure know I don't want to go to hell.
Be better. Well, my thing is, you know, when I first like became saved and the motivation behind it was I don't want to go to hell. That was my biggest motivation.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, but now as I've kind of grown in my walk, it's not so much that I'm scared to go to hell, which I know I'm not,
yeah.
but it's like I'm looking forward to being in mm-hmm. heaven, right?
Yeah.
And being with Jesus and for eternity.
I've always like that's always kind of been the I grew up. We talked about this growing up Pentecostal and stuff. You have a lot of experiences, you know, experiencing the presence of God. So I've always just been like, and I would experience those things, and I was like, I wish I had that all the time.
Yeah.
And somebody would be like, well, that's what heaven's gonna be like. I was like, well, yeah, I sure want to go there.
Yeah.
And then somebody also explained that hell is never getting to experience that again.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
like, well, I sure don't want to go there.
Never
don't
want to go there. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm kind of like when I was remember being y'all's age, and you know, I didn't want the Lord to come back. Like you said, I'm like, hey man, let me enjoy this a while. And,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that was the whole thought about, well, I ain't gonna get married, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's gonna be high. And I'm thinking church all day long. It's gonna be boring. And I used to even say, Lord, just let me live a couple thousand years, and then just let me die and just be gone. And
just
y'all going to have heaven. I'll be done. But the older I have gotten and experienced stuff, I actually one time thought of if we were the way the world is now and then truly believe in scripture of the things that's going to take place before the very, very end. I always thought that, you know, if an angel appeared in the doorway and said, hey, through this door is heaven. It's eternity, and it's the perfect place. And if you want to go get Cody and Sawyer and Cassidy and Jude and Bridget, I'm giving y'all can come on in here. I would want to say, guys, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're used to. I would say, no, chill. You know, I don't want to go right now. There's just something, and I don't know if it's a clock inside of you that the older you get, and the experiences you experience, really. And I'm one, I love life, but
mm-hmm.
if I did not wake up in the morning, it would be okay with me.
Yeah.
Because I know that kind of like my dad said, I know where the Lord is, and I've experienced it and appreciate his grace just some of the things I've come through life. I can't wait to at least get there to say, if you did all this in 6 days, and he's been pretty incredible, created a pretty beautiful world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the next thing.
So I only have one more question, and that is, what do we look like when we get to heaven? Because we're there for eternity, and we're not going to just keep getting gray and wrinkled up and everything like that. Does the scripture say anything about the way we'll look in heaven, the way we'll appear?
I like to believe I'm going to look like an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I think, again, we got flesh, and flesh comes in all shapes and sizes. I think the Bible said we'll have a glorified or a heavenly body. I think we'll have something, but I think we'll be more of a, I don't think we'll be like a ghost or spirit just floating around, but it'll be something that is a perfect, you know, there's people that's born, you know, we'll say some people think they're perfect,
mm-hmm.
but they're not, but there's imperfections and there's birth defects and stuff. It'll be something that's perfect. You know, one person said, yeah, I had a vision that, you know, whatever, if your baby died, you know, that's what age they're going to be in heaven, and you're going to get to raise it in heaven. I don't see any scripture basis for that.
Mm.
I think it's a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I don't have a clue.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I would guess we're going to be something like you were saying, like with Jesus, like he was in flesh, but he was also like able to kind of,
yeah,
almost like you could shift in and out of two different.
He did. He appeared through the walls, and then he mm-hmm. disappeared.
Like you can kind of, it says in Genesis that, you know, God would come down in the garden and walk.
And walk.
So if he's walking, he's probably got legs,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So he obviously has some physical form, and then he's also got another form. Maybe we'll be able to do something like that.
One person said everybody had the perfect body, you know.
Yeah.
So but what does that look like? I mean, I think there's some pretty fine looking people and
chiseled Greek gods.
Yeah.
I wonder the same way we're given like how well we do with what we're given here on Earth. I'm like, okay, well, does that also come to like your physicality? Like, how well do you take care of your body on Earth?
That's
do you get
thought.
Like the best version of your? Well, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Whatever you peaked.
So you're gonna get
your prime.
Well, you're prime. So some people, they just never did it. So they get to heaven and like, oh Lord.
If
now, so we got a Planet Fitness in heaven.
Yeah.
You want to get.
Yeah.
It whatever it is, I think it's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess we'll have to just wait.
Wait, find out. So, well. You ain't got anything, Sawyer? Well, I don't have any more questions. No. Give us a question. No, I don't really have anything else. I do feel like I have a better understanding of heaven now. I
feel like I could sit here and talk about this.
I could, because we're on the fine line of scripture and theology, and like just throwing stuff
and
out
just
there.
Random thoughts.
And so it is fun to kind of play with it. But I do think, you know, a lot of people just have that expectation, like, boom, heaven's great, it's perfect, that's all I need to know. But there is more depth to it. There's going to be an actual job for you or a purpose for you.
You're not going to be a flower. Somebody says, well, they need to pluck mom and put him in his flower.
Yeah,
you know, we're not a flower. We're not an angel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a being.
Yeah. Well, maybe next episode we'll talk a little more about we'll flip the script and go to hell and see what that.
Well, we're not going
to
go.
No,
hell,
we're not going to go to hell. But they have those. What are they called? The things you walk through, and it's
judgment journey.
Yeah, judgment journey. If you want to experience hell, you just go through one of those. And but yeah, that's all we got for this episode. I hope you took away some ideas and facts about what heaven may entail for us. But Keith, I appreciate you coming on here, man.
Yeah, and I hope everybody watches. I hope you make plans to go.
Yeah.
That means accept Jesus and, you know, we can get up there and y'all say, boy, y'all had no idea what you was talking about.
Yeah.
Or we got some of it right, and I think it'll be somewhere in the middle.
If you listen to this and you still don't want to go to heaven,
man,
I don't know what to say to you, because the alternative is not a place to be. No. So Anyways, but thanks, guys, for listening to another episode of Shooting the Breeze. I'm Cody.
I'm Sawyer.
And we'll see y'all next week with another episode. I'm going to have to cut that because we're not going to be on here next week.